join us in prayers this morning. Turn with me, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 9, reading verses 51 through 56. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. The burden that's on my heart, and the thought that I would like for us to consider as a subject, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. As we consider this thought, I would like to encourage each of us to pay close attention to what we are going to deal with, because we're dealing with an extremely serious matter. Satan, the enemy of all souls, is very cunning, crafty, deceitful, and artful. He is skillful in achieving his purposes. He is skillful in camouflaging himself to the degree that many people cannot discern between him and God. He is skillful in covering his works to the degree that many people are not able to distinguish between the dealings of God and the dealings of the devil. They are not able to distinguish between the dealings of Satan and those things that are natural. Satan is a very crafty enemy. We are dealing with unseen spirit beings to a far greater degree than most people realize. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Go a little bit farther for us, please.
Put on the whole armor of God.
Yes.
You may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Yes.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
This is what I want.
Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Folks, we are not dealing with flesh and blood.
That's right.
We are dealing with principalities,
right,
with powers,
right,
with the rulers of the darkness of this world, with spiritual wickedness in high places. We are dealing with spirit beings that are influencing the behavior of men, women, boys, and girls. Spirit beings that are influencing the words, the ways, the thoughts, the deeds, and the actions of sinners, and in many cases, the saints to some degree. Jesus, speaking to James and John, he said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are. You are not aware of the kind of spirit that is influencing your thoughts and influencing the things that you are saying. Again, as we stated, Satan is a crafty being. Satan was able to take an incident from the Word of God, something that God Himself in time past had ordained and put His stamp of approval upon it. When Elijah called fire down from heaven and destroyed those people, Satan took that incident and covered himself under the Word of God and began to influence the thoughts of those disciples and began to influence their words. Very skillful in camouflaging himself to the point that many people are not aware that Satan is the one that's dealing with them. I thought about, in a natural sense, little babies. A little baby, maybe a few months old. That little baby, you bring them in church, and that little baby began to cry and cry and cry. And you get up and take that baby out of church, and immediately they stop crying. And that little baby don't know anything about being in church like that. But Satan, the enemy of all souls, will irritate that baby and trouble that baby and disturb that baby until someone get up and take that child out of church. Folks, the Satan is a crafty being, and he deals in a lot of ways that we're not even aware that he deals with. When a child is born into this world, well, let me back up a little bit. Now, I need your prayers. When a child is born into this world, Satan immediately began to observe that child. And he began to plot and plan the very best way for him to snare that child and destroy that child. Satan began to observe all that surrounds that child, its parents, the neighborhood that it will grow up in, those that will be associated with that child. And he began to work then to weave a web and a net in the very early stages of that child's life to destroy them. Sometime it may take him years down the road, but he seeks to accomplish his purpose. When Jesus was born, Satan immediately was on the job with a plot and a plan to destroy him. The angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, told him to arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt because Herod will seek to destroy that child. Folks, it wasn't all just simply Herod afraid of losing his kingship, but Satan, the enemy of all souls, had a plot and a plan that I'm going to use Herod as an agent to accomplish my purpose, and I'm going to destroy this child, Jesus. We're dealing with the crafty foe. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 22, reading verse 6. Someone, if you get that for us to hurry along, you might feel free to read it. 1 Kings 22 and 6.
Then the king of Israel gathers the prophets together.
Yes.
About 400 men.
Yes.
Instead of them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle?
Yes.
Or shall I forbear?
Now, would you drop down and read verses 19 through 23, please?
And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left.
Yes.
And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also. Go forth and do so.
Now here we're dealing with King Ahab. And Satan, as he observed this man, he determined that the best way for me to destroy Ahab is by way of falsehood, by way of deceit, and by way of lying. So he began to surround this man with falsehood, with deceit and lying. His wife, Jezebel, was a deceitful woman. When she decided to get the vineyard of Naboth for Ahab, she had them to get men of Belial, men that were deceitful, men that would lie, and they set Naboth up, and those men decided, okay, we're going to set him up, and then we're going to testify against him that he blasphemed God, and he blasphemed the king, and take him out and stone him to death. But not only was Jezebel a deceitful woman, Ahab was surrounded with no less than 400 false prophets, men of deceit, men of lies. Oh, listen, and here the enemy of all souls, as he worked with this man, with his plot and his plan, and he weaved a web to destroy this man, he pushed Ahab right along until Ahab stepped over a boundary line, and the great God of heaven turned, took away his umbrella of mercy and protection. Listen, folks, the devil is trying to push every individual to a point where they step over a boundary line with God, and God draw back his mercy from them and take his umbrella protection from them. And this is what he did with Ahab. God turned, took away his protection, and here the Lord began to discern, how can this man be destroyed? And listen, Satan was right on hand, just like it was in the days of Job. When the sons of God met together, Satan met also. He began to commune with God. God began to talk with him about Job. Here it is, dear ones, as God is dealing with Ahab, Satan came right in the midst too. And the Lord said, how can I destroy this man? And here steps up an evil spirit, and he says, I'll destroy him for you. I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. Just like God gave Satan leave to go and deal with Job, he told him, go right ahead, and you'll prevail. And that lying spirit dealt with those false prophets, that they all in one accord lied to Ahab, deceived Ahab, persuaded Ahab. He went up to remote Gilead, and there he was destroyed. Let me tell you something, folks. People die, but spirits don't. Those same lying spirits that prevailed with Ahab, those same lying spirits are present in the world today. I thought about how the devil influences people, children, teenagers, young adults, middle age, and old. People will lie for no reason at all. It's no benefit to them. It's no advantage to them. If they told the truth, it wouldn't bring them into any judgment or any problem. But people will lie for no reason at all. And then when they are caught in the lie, and you began to inquire of them, why did you tell a lie? The response of some is, I don't know. And you know of a truth? Many of them don't know, because they know not what manner of spirit they are of. They do not realize that I am being influenced by a spirit being that I can't even see, and they don't know that the devil is actually working with them and influencing them to do those kind of things. He's influencing people's thoughts, their words, their ways, their deeds, and their actions. Those spirits of deceit, they're not all out in the acknowledged world of sin, but they are prevalent in the religious world. Someone get 1 John 4 and 1. 2 Timothy 3 and 13, please. 1 John 4 and 1.
Beloved,
believe not every spirit,
but try the spirit,
whether they are of God.
Because many false prophets,
many false prophets are going out into the world. All right? Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:13.
But evil men and seducers
shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Evil men and seducers are deceiving other people, and Satan is deceiving them. And it's not all out in the acknowledged world of sin. But Satan is weaving a web of falsehood and deception in which he is snaring and trapping the souls of multitudes upon multitudes of people. He is hindering souls in their walk with God, and he is damaging souls, and he is destroying souls by way of deception. The devil is destroying souls spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally by falsehood and deception. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 29 and 30, please.
For I know this,
Paul speaking said, I know this,
after my departing,
shall grievous wolves enter in among you,
not
sparing the flock.
Also
of your own self
shall men arise,
speaking perverse things
to draw away
disciples after them. So it's not all out in sectism either, folks. It come right in among the people of God and the camp of the saints. Right among us, dear ones. People rising up, speaking falsehood, speaking deceitful things, telling lies, telling people that you don't have to do all of that to be saved. You can go here, you can go there, and still have the stamp of God's approval upon your life. Listen, folks, you know not what manner of spirit you are. Listen, Satan, the enemy of all souls, is influencing men, women, boys, and girls. Their thoughts, their words, their ways, their deeds, and their actions. Some people say, well, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so have sure drifted. I never thought they'd teach anything like that. Folks, listen. It's not just brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so drifting. It's not an imagination of their own thoughts and their own mind. That is a spirit that have influenced brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so that's working with that individual and dealing with that individual to pull down and tear down the standard of God. Spirit of falsehood. But we think it's just brother so-and-so. A sister so-and-so. They want a following. They've drifted. No, it's more than that. We are dealing with unseen spirit powers. Folks, we are in a spiritual warfare. God against Satan. Right against wrong. Good against evil. The host of heaven against the host of hell. And Satan, the enemy of all souls, in his craftiness, is doing all that he possibly can to win that warfare. Acts chapter 5. And verse 1, please.
But a certain man named Ananias,
yes,
his wife, yes, possession, and kept back part of the tithe. His wife also being privy to it,
yes,
and brought a certain wife and made it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart with lies of the Holy Ghost?
Yes. Amen. I believe that's good. Bear in mind, we're dealing with the subject, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are. Many people don't know the kind of spirit that is influencing them, and many people don't even know that a spirit is influencing them. These people were influenced by a spirit of falsehood, of lying, and deceit. They were hypocrites. We wonder, why would a person hypocrite? Why would a person try to be a double agent, live a double life, be something supposedly that they are not? The life of a hypocrite, folks, is a hard life. Because you have to be so careful. It's an uncomfortable life. When you are around certain people, I've got to be so careful to keep the real me from coming out and exposing myself, see? So a hypocritical life is a careful and an uncomfortable life. And sometimes hypocrites don't even know themselves why they're hypocriting. Some people ask the question, what benefit is it for the devil to have a person to hypocrite? There he is anyway. Why don't he just let them go on out in open sin and do what they're going to do? Because the hypocrite is valuable to the enemy of all souls, see? The Bible speaks about standing in the way of sinners. The hypocrite is a person that Satan used to stand in the way of sinners and hinder other people and keep them from getting saved, see? When those people know, those, the sinners know the hypocrites. Sometimes they scoot by the saints, but the sinners know the hypocrites because they're out there with them and they see them doing things that they know saints of God do not do. And then when God began to deal with them and work with them about getting saved, Satan bring it right up into their mind. Why should you go and be saved and join yourself with hypocritical people like that? You don't want no part of that. And so it repels people. They back off. Satan is very crafty, folks, in dealing with the things that he deal with. So people, hypocrites, are very profitable to Satan. Now, the hypocrite, sometime, is not aware of the power and the spirit that they're under. You see, hypocriting is not just something that a person wants to do. But it's a spirit that deals with that individual and influences that individual and causes that individual to be a hypocrite. We are dealing with spirits to a far greater degree than most people realize. Why would Ananias and Sapphira hypocrite? The land that they had belonged to them. They could do whatever they wanted to do with it. If they wanted to keep it, it was their choice. God was not condemning them for it. If they sold it, it was their money. They could do whatever they wanted to do. They could have said, we are giving a portion of it, and we are reserving a portion of it. All right, it's yours, Ananias. Do what you want to do with it. But instead, they were hypocritical. They brought the money and laid it down at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, did you sell the land for so much and so much? And he said, yea, for so much and so much. There was a spirit influencing that man's mind and heart and spirit and causing him to lie. That lying spirit, see? That deceitful spirit. That spirit of falsehood. Folks, many people are under the influence of a spirit of falsehood and don't even realize that it's a spirit dealing with them. Don't even realize themselves why I'm hypocriting. We need God to help us. In Isaiah chapter 30, verses 8 through 11, please. I know that everything is not a spirit, dear ones. But I want us, our eyes to be open. I want us to be balanced, and I want our eyes to be open that we are dealing with spirits to a far greater degree than most people realize. And if an individual is being dealt with and influenced by a spirit, and they don't know that it is a spirit, Satan has the upper hand on that individual, see? Satan will hinder, Satan will damage, Satan will destroy as long as you don't know what you're dealing with. You see, our victory is that our eyes, the eyes of our understanding be enlightened to what we're dealing with. And when I see Satan, then I can resist him by the grace and power of God, and I can triumph over him. But as long as I don't know it's him, he have the upper hand. All right, Isaiah 30 and 8 through 11, please.
Now go.
Go. Write it before them in a table.
Note it
in a book.
That it may be for the time to come.
Yes.
And
yes.
That this is a rebellious
people.
Lying children.
Children that will not hear the law of the Lord.
Say to the seers,
see not.
To the prophets,
prophesy not unto us right things.
Speak
unto us smooth things.
Prophesy deceit.
Get you out of the way.
Turn aside out of the path.
Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. I want to mention again, this is not all out in the sectarian world, but it's right among the people of God. Where people are crying for a lesser standard than that which God requires. They are crying for a diluted gospel and for a sugar-coated gospel. See? And it's not just people say, well, we're living in modern times. This is the time that we're living in. And so, if we kind of lessen the standard, we can draw more people in, and more people will get saved. Folks, again, this is not a product of the minds of these people. It is a spirit behind that that is influencing men and women and boys and girls, a spirit of compromise to pull down, to tear down, to throw down, and to destroy the standard of righteousness and true holiness. People are being influenced by a spirit. They say, well, the way is too strict. It's too straight. It's too narrow. It's no stricter and straighter and narrower than it ever have been. And multitudes upon multitudes have traveled this way, and they have been successful, and God is not going to change it for you and me. We are going to have to measure to the standard of God as we journey through this dark and sinful world. But all folks, listen, there are spirits out there that are influencing the minds of men and women and boys and girls, and they don't even realize that they are being influenced by a compromised spirit when they are crying for a lesser standard, for a diluted gospel. Let's water it down a little bit. Let's make it a little softer. Let's make it a little more desirable for people to come in. Oh, listen, dear ones. If people taste and see that the Lord is good, it won't be no problem with them coming in. Oh, listen, God is wanting to help you and me as we journey through this dark and sinful world. You know not what manner of spirit is dealing with you. You don't realize. See, people, I'm amazed at what people lay on God nowadays. God told me this and God told me that. You don't know what kind of spirit is influencing you and moving you to do the things that you're doing. James and John thought that the spirit that was moving them was the spirit of God. This is a righteous spirit. Elijah did it. Why can't we do it? It wasn't the spirit of God, folks. It wasn't God's spirit. Many people don't know what kind of spirit is moving them, and many people don't even know that a spirit is moving them. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Yes, God have not given us
the spirit of fear,
but of power,
and of love,
and of a sound mind. This is what I want you to get a hold to, dear ones. We're talking about spirits here. And the writer said, God have not given us the spirit of fear. There's a spirit of fear. Now, A lot of times when people are out in the world, they're bold. They're not afraid of anything, hardly. They're not concerned about this person, what they can do to them, what they're going to say about them, what they think about them. No problem, no concern to them. But when that individual gets saved, the devil come right in and he began to deal with them with the spirit of fear. They become afraid. I'm afraid that of what people think about me, what they're going to say about me. People are afraid to get up and testify, whatever the case might be. People, the devil began to deal with them of fear of, if you really get, yes, God work with them and deal with them of, but deeper depths and higher heights in him, the devil come in with that spirit of fear of, if you really get down to business with God, your husband or your wife is going to leave you. If you really get down to business with God, think of what those of your associates are going to think about you, the slack living Christians, those that you're surrounded with, that don't really want to get down the business themselves. Think of what they're going to think about you. If you really get down to business, it's going to begin to bring a separation between you and them. The devil will threaten you. If you get down to business with God, you're going to come down with cancer. This is going to happen and that's going to happen. And you'll end up dying a horrible death. Oh, folks, listen. A spirit of fear. Influencing people to keep them from doing what God would have them to do, keep them from being what God would have them to be, keep them from going where God would have them to go. I've heard the saints testify, and I know what they're talking about. Maybe the Lord would have you to go a certain place to a meeting, and the devil began to try to torment you that if you get on that plane, or you do this or you do that, you're going to die. It's going to fall with you. A spirit of fear. The devil trying to hinder you, trying to influence you and hinder you, and many people are not aware that it is a spirit, see? They know that, yes, this fear is coming, but they don't realize there's an unseen spirit being that's dealing with that fear, see? What manner of spirit? Don't know what manner of spirit you are. Some people say, well, you know, when I was out in sin, I was still a fearful person. I was afraid of this and I was afraid of that. And, you know, I'd wake up at night and the devil would maybe torment me and I'd be afraid of dying and so forth. And I was afraid. Well, do you know, that may be the very way that Satan determined is the best way to destroy your soul. And he began to weave a web and net of fear. To take you into bondage under fear and destroy your eternity-bound soul. But God have deliverance, folks. And you see, again, when the eyes of our understanding are enlightened and we realize that this is not just something that popped up in my mind, that it is a spirit that is pursuing after me, and that spirit is it trying to influence me and make me afraid and hinder me and hold me back and keep me from getting saved or keep me from being what God would have me to be? And we begin by the grace and mercy of God to resist that spirit. The scripture said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You can't resist him if you don't know it's him. If he camouflaged himself and covered himself and you don't discern him and know that it's him, you'll never resist him and you'll never get the victory. In the book of Mark, chapter 9 and verse 17, please. Yes? Yes. Yes. Amen. I believe that's good. Thank you. Here, Now, Paul spoke about a spirit of fear. And here, Christ is talking about a dumb spirit. Now, this child was actually possessed with a dumb spirit. I'm not dealing here with possession. There is a possession, and there is an influence. I want to deal with the influence of a dumb spirit. The word dumb, in one sense, means to be silent. It means temporarily speechless. You come to prayer service, people have no testimony, don't call no song, have no prayer. You come to Bible study, they have no comments, they have no questions. You come to the regular service, they call no songs, they have no amens, no praise the Lord, no glory hallelujahs for the word of God as it's going forth. But as soon as service is dismissed, their tongue is unloosed. Folks, this is a serious thing. They do not realize that they are influenced by a dumb spirit. That spirit will keep them temporarily silent. Sometimes people say, well, I really wanted to testify, I really wanted to pray, but it was so hard. You know why it's so hard? It's a spirit influencing you. It's a spirit dealing with it. And when you can determine that this is a spirit and begin to resist that spirit, God will release you, and you can testify, you can call a song, you can pray, you can say amen when the word of God is. Paul spoke here of a spirit. Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Bondage, the word bondage, means voluntary or involuntary subjection to any influence. People come down to an altar of prayer, and you advise them, you counsel them, you instruct them, you pray with them, and they get up and go on their way seemingly with victory. But the next few weeks or the next few months, you're dealing with that same person about the same problem. From meeting to meeting, you deal with people, the same people, about the same problems. The problem is they're influenced by a spirit of bondage. People say, well, I tried, but I just can't seem to get the victory that I need. Some people say, well, they didn't want it anyway. They wasn't serious no way about getting no help. And I agree, some people are not serious about getting help. But folks, some people want help, but they don't realize that I'm under the influence of a spirit of bondage. Satan commissions certain spirits to be spirits of bondage, to hold people and keep them from getting the victory that they need, see? Spirit of bondage. You will never get the victory that you need until you realize that what I'm dealing with is a spirit. That's why it is so hard for me to get the victory that I need. It's not just something that I'm dealing with. It's a spirit behind the whole thing. And that spirit has great power, and it is holding me and keeping me. And sad to say, folks, sometimes the gospel workers don't discern that this individual is bound by a spirit of bondage, and we need to go a little deeper, we need to go a little farther in dealing with this individual for them to get the victory that they need. Spirit of bondage. And these are real spirits, folks. They are influencing people's behavior. They are influencing people's words, their thoughts, their deeds, their ways, and their actions. Ye know not what manner of spirit you are of. You do not know what kind of spirit is influencing you and moving you to think the thoughts that you're thinking and do the things that you're doing. And as long as you don't know, the devil had the upper hand. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30 through 34, please.
I went by the field of the flock.
Yes.
And by the vineyard of the man void of understanding.
Yes.
And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof.
Yes.
And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep.
Yes.
A little slumber.
Yes.
A little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an army.
You see, Satan have appointed spirits of slumber. Sleepy spirits, not in a natural sense, spiritually. Slumber, sleepy spirits, careless spirits. Their job is to rock people to sleep. To bring that individual to a place of total or partial unconsciousness in a sense that they are not aware of the things that's going on around them. See? They're not aware. People are not aware that they are poor, that they are naked, that they are blind, that they are miserable, and that God is about to spew them out of His mouth. They feel that they are rich and increased with goods and don't need anything. People don't realize that I've gotten far from the peaceful shore. I'm in a dangerous place. Yes. They're asleep. That spirit has rocked them to sleep, and they have drifted out on the ocean, and they don't realize the great danger that they're in, that they are about to meet with destruction. Spirits of slumber, careless spirits, spirits of sleepiness. And people are not aware that they are being influenced by spirit. There are those that thorns and nettles growing in their vineyard, but they're careless, they're not concerned. They excuse themselves, they justify themselves, they account for their doings from a natural fleshly standpoint. Well, my grandfather was a person that he was kind of harsh and he was rough in his dealings, and so I just kind of took after my grandfather. Folks don't realize that there's a spirit that's working with them and influencing them and causing them to become careless and let their vineyard begin to be grown over with thorns and nettles and briars and thistles, and they are not aware what the devil is doing to them, pulling them down to destruction, hindering their spiritual walk with God, where they are not able to be what God would have them to be and do what God would have them to do. Some people, they have breaches and cracks in the walls of their salvation, but they're not concerned about repairing it. They're not concerned, dear ones, about working out their salvation with fear and trembling before God. They're not concerned about digging down to deeper depths and climbing up to higher heights in God, because they are under a spirit of slumber. They're under a sleepy and a careless spirit that caused them not to have the proper concern for their eternity-bound soul. The most valuable, the most precious, the most priceless of all their possessions, of that which is more valuable than the whole world. But yet they're not concerned about it. They're under spirit. chapter 14 of the book of Luke, verses 10 through 16. Luke 13 and 10 through 16. Someone get Zechariah 13, 1 and 2, please. St. Luke, if you have that. Yes? Would you hold it just a minute? He said a spirit of infirmity. A spirit. We are dealing with spirit beings to a far greater degree than most people are aware. All right, go right ahead. Yes? Yes. Spirits of infirmity. Their job is to afflict, to make people sick, feeble, weakly, and to keep them that way. They deal with individuals. They deal with congregations. They deal with communities. Have you ever seen a congregation where a large number of the people were sick? And some people look like everything that come along, they get it, see? And people begin to wonder, why can I not get over this sickness? Do you know a lot of times people are being bound by a spirit of affliction? That's why it's so difficult. And the person, dear ones, that have it, don't realize what manner of spirit they are of. And a lot of times, when we pray for them, we don't realize what manner of spirit they are of, that we are actually dealing with a spirit of affliction. See, we're dealing with the spirit, not just a sickness. You see, the devil, again, is very crafty. And sometimes as people begin to think about their problems and the sickness that they have, the devil, to camouflage himself and cover himself, he'll say, well, you're sick for this reason or that reason. You know, if you hadn't done this or that, you wouldn't be sick. And so he's channeling them away from himself to some natural thing that made them sick. And there are natural things, I agree, that sometimes we do that makes us sick, see? But God wants us to discern between spirit and natural. God wants us to be able to see if I really brought this upon myself or if there's something behind this. Sometimes I think, no, I have no reason at all to be sick. No reason. I haven't done this, I haven't done that. There is no cause for me to be sick. That is nothing but the devil. Spirit of infirmity. But you know, until we realize what it is, the devil has an advantage of us. And we'll never get the victory until we realize what I am dealing with is a spirit, and I begin to resist that spirit. God will break the power of that spirit of infirmity, and he'll give us victory. In the book of Zechariah 13, 1 and 2.
That day,
yes.
There shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem.
Yes.
Land and for unclean.
Yes.
And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the name of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered.
Yes.
And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land.
Now the Lord spoke about unclean spirits. Unclean spirits. We're living in a time when unclean spirits have invaded our cities, our nation, and the world. And they have also invaded our homes and our congregations in many different ways. But I want to narrow it down to a particular item, and that is dress. Whether male or female, adorning themselves in clothes that are too revealing, too tight, too skimpy, too low-cut, long splits, and see-throughs. People don't know what manner of spirit they are. See? They don't realize that they are actually being influenced by an unclean spirit. See? Right among God's people. The way we dress sometimes, people don't really realize that it's not just them. It's not just the pressure from the world that caused people to dress like they dress. Because a lot of times, as saints, we don't have a whole lot of pressure maybe from the world because we're not that closely associated with them. But folks, there's a spirit of uncleanness that's coming among God's people. And that spirit, it's a spirit of moral looseness. A spirit of lasciviousness. A reckless and lewd spirit. It is a spirit that is to excite lustful desires in others. It is a spirit with no principles and no stopping place. If the devil can get you under his influence of that spirit of uncleanness, he's not going to stop with just dealing with dress. He's going to take you farther and farther, deeper and deeper. You will drift away from God. And he'll bind you with more things. You know not what manner of spirit ye are of. In closing, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14, please.
The spirit of a man,
yes.
But a wounded spirit will
prevail. A wounded spirit. We're living in an age of wounded and bitter spirits. People are so easily offended. They are hurt by what you say, and they are hurt by what you don't say. They are hurt by what you do, and they are hurt by what you don't do. Satan have commissioned some spirits to be wounded spirits. And it's their job to work on people, deal with their heart, their mind, their spirit, and influence them to be easily hurt. Children are hurt with their parents. Husbands and wives are hurt with each other. People are hurt with the pastor. They're hurt with the congregation. They're hurt with the Reformation. Wounded spirits. And sad to say, many of these people don't know what manner of spirit they are. Don't even realize that they're being influenced by a spirit. Well, they did this to me. They said that about me. And so I'm hurt. And I've been hurt for 5 years, for 10 years. Folks, it's more than that. Just something that someone said to me or about me, and it's followed me for 5 years and 10 years, is something wrong, folks. Oh, listen. We need God to help us in these last and evil days. We need God to enlighten the eyes of our understanding, give us some spiritual discernment that we can discern Satan and his workings, pull the camouflage off of him, pull the cover off of him, and realize and see his dealings. This is not God. I discern that this is the enemy. It's not God. We can discern between his dealings and God's dealings, and we can discern between his dealings and natural things, folks. The more understanding you and I have, the better equipped and prepared you and I will be to gain the victories that we need as we journey through this dark and sinful world. And Satan, the enemy of all souls, will not be able to hide under anything or behind anything and hinder us, damage us, or destroy us as we journey along the path of life. We're dealing with spirit beings to a far, far greater degree than most people are aware of. Many people do not realize what kind of spirit is influencing them, and many don't even realize it is a spirit. Amen.